Six.
Oh, you can tell me about, when you came over.
Well, when I came over, I came with my parents. They were immigrant, and I was 8 years old at that time. And I didn't know anything much about coming over. I wasn't too excited about it being so young. I didn't know what was Hawaii and, all of that stuff. So when I came over, I didn't know how to speak English. The only English word that I knew was yes and no. That's all. Then I attended for second grade because I had first grade in the Philippines. And I wanted to, learn as much as I could, but I didn't feel that it was kind of hard for me to mingle with other children. But I got used to it, and the school and the teacher really helped me a lot.
Oh, good.
What school was that?
Halaula Elementary, way down Halaula side. And as the years go by, well, I knew what Hawaii is about, with a lot of people surrounding different nationalities and all that.
Like, so you came when you was young.
Mm-hmm.
So, what kind of games you folks used to play?
Well, it's similar to what we have here, like hopscotch, and we have jack, the thing that has a ball with the jack on.
Yeah, yeah.
But ours is different. It's pebbles. And we don't let the pebble bounce because it doesn't bounce anyway. So it's the same procedure, except the ball is different. It's all pebbles.
Oh. Mm, I see. Do you remember the first thing you noticed about Hawaii when you came here?
As far as I can remember, I wasn't too... No, I don't think I can.
You don't have a first name.
No.
Yeah. So long ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about your friends in school?
You mean here or...
Here.
Oh, well, children is children,
yeah.
Being a Filipino itself. Well, sometimes they tease you around and what kind of Filipino you are. You can't speak English, and they try to tease you as much as you can. But I try to do the best I can, because if I don't get along with them, I won't be able to learn. I mean, without friends, it's gonna be so difficult for you to be in the campus itself. So the more I try to go out with them and talk and play with them, and that's the only way I can get by, get through, so they can communicate with me, and that would be the faster I can learn how to speak English.
How long did it take you to learn English, do you think?
Do what?
To learn English. How long before you could speak?
Oh, I would say about 3 months at the most.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
3 months. But yet, when they speak English, you can say it's pidgin. It wasn't a completely fluent English, But gradually I learned, and thank God I got through with it.
Do you think it's easier to learn pidgin than English?
I would say yes. But to some people, it's difficult. But I guess automatically you know how to, say the words.
Do you remember any special friends?
Oh, there's quite a bit, way, way back. There was this fella who taught me how to read. I never learned from my teacher, that's the truth. I never learned from my teacher.
Student.
And this fellow is Leroy Costa. And he wasn't smart in school. He was, way down to downgrade kind of student. And he and I were the only one that was way, way back in the subject. It's because that when a teacher shows you the book, you know, you have to try and read it. And it was kind of difficult because learning English at the same time and the word in the book is English, it's completely different. Because what we used to learn in the Philippines when I was first grade is it was only a flashcard.
Yeah.
And in math, we have no problem. We can pick it up so fast.
Yeah.
But words and in sentences, it, like English itself, it's real hard.
In the Philippines, you did have English.
Yeah, we do. But we don't start English in the earliest stage. We start to speak English or to learn English in the third grade. Maybe that's the reason why I didn't know how to say anything about English itself.
Yeah. 8 years old, what grade?
Well, you see, what had happened is I started when I was 4 years old.
Oh.
But the war had started in 1946, and we were supposed to go to the second grade. But when the war had come in, there you go. I wasted about four to five years. So that's why I started second grade 8 years old. This is where I was way, way back. I couldn't help it because it was, you know, during the World War II.
Sure.
That's how it happened.
In wartime, you were in the Philippines?
Yeah, in 1946.
Do you remember anything about that?
Oh, yes. That was a bloody murder. It was so terrible. You know, I remember I have an uncle who served the United States. And children is children, and when this Japanese soldier come in and they ask you, where is the, where do my uncle stay? And I figured they knew some kind of communication between if he was my uncle or not. And I went down and showed the Japanese soldier. And this uncle of mine, he has every equipment in there, radio and everything else.
Oh, no.
And we were about to be shot at that time. It was just a few inches more before we could have been shot, because when I directed him to the step, you see, Philippine Island houses, the step is about 7 to 8 step, you know, those bamboo steps.
Yeah.
And if we had gone about 3 more, we would have looked right inside of the house, and there's all the American radios, and there's some other American soldiers in there. And then the American had turned around and told us that we were Japanese spy. So we were about to be, you know, shot to death. When my uncle had tried to explain to the American soldiers that my parents didn't know anything about it. So they questioned my parents, and I guess that's how we came out of it. And I have seen Japanese try to do a lot of things in Philippines, you know, Philippine people. I've even seen them chop heads.
You remember that?
Poke them with bayonets, yeah. They make you drink, I would say 5 gallons of water. And it happened right in front of me. And after he cannot drink anymore, they poke him with a bayonet. And you can see all the things.
The guts gone out.
That's some experience.
Yeah. And there's so many things that really had happened. And we used to have shelter. My dad had made a quite a bit of big square, you know, square puka.
Yeah.
Or hole, whatever you call it. And you can see 5-6 families is in there. And there wasn't any roof at all. And it rained. And the water is just, you know, the hole is just filled with water. Again, I almost died because I had a flu. And my mom and dad wanted to have me survive. And it was kind of hard for them because food was so hard. You can't get out. And when you do, you have to go through Japanese garrison. That's where the station, you know. You have to have permission. And if you cannot do anything right, they'll put you in prison or, you know, they'll just do anything.
That was hard, yeah.
So I've seen the hardship in the Philippines. And today I say I'm one of the fortunate person to come in Hawaii. Because a lot of times you see and you hear about peoples in the Philippines and it's terrible.
You went back recently?
Uh-huh. Last year.
Oh, how was?
It's a big change, all right. They're more civilized now.
Oh.
But it's money that it's really hard. It's such a hard thing to get. Because where I live, the only work that they do is farming, and they do hand weaving, like you see this curtain right over
yeah.
here, and they do napkins. This is by hand itself, and some women does the sewing and fishing, and if the weather doesn't permit, you can't get anything at all. And it's real hard. What make it more hard is the rice is so expensive.
That's what they live.
Mm-hmm. And the vegetable, whereas in Hawaii, you can just pluck it in the backyard of somebody else, you know, as long as you ask them if they can give some vegetable. But in the Philippines, it's real hard. Everything, every bit of it is being sold. Can you imagine that that pork, this is 1 kilo is 7 pesos. Well, of course, in American money, it's cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the Philippines, you cannot eat meat, 7 pesos. Where can you get 7 pesos if you don't have no daily income? And rice itself, they said it's about, I believe it's over 25 pesos.
How much is one peso in
equivalent? Well, let's say it this way. 6.50, it's dollar, is equivalent to 1 peso.
So
wait, I'm sorry. 6.50 peso. Is equivalent to $1, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. But it came up now. They said it's I think it's $7 now. I mean, 7 pesos.
Equal
$1.
Uh-huh. That's too.
But as you can see, if the money goes to the Philippines, you know, like we help our family in the Philippines, it's all right. To earn that peso, it's so hard. My cousin goes down the river. You see, our area is the ocean and a river. So the ocean water goes in the river, and of course, fish and everything else get in there. So that's where they get their daily food, you know, in fish and oysters and all of that. My cousin's food you know, can you imagine every day she goes down and do fishing? It's not only men, it's women too that do it. Her feet has water sore. You know, if she cannot get within an hour or so, she has to stay there until she can get enough to provide her children. And the husband also goes out and do fishing. So it's really hard. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that in my own barrio, mm-hmm. I've seen people that doesn't eat because they don't have any money. Now, if they would go and keep on borrowing to those people who are well-to-do, and they can't pay it, you know what they do? They'll take you to be your maid. So you'll have to stay there until you pay for it. There are some people who is real dishonest. They'll tell you, no, you haven't paid up. Even if you stay there and rot, you still can't do it. And if you still have enough, I mean, you have balance, your children will take over.
Oh, no.
So, otherwise, Philippines is all right. A lot of scenery. And in cities, it's good. But the living itself is hard. And the housing itself, as in Hawaii, you cannot say, oh, she's poor and she's rich. Because you have a home like this,
yeah.
Or maybe just a simple house.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Philippines, you can tell from the rich to the poor. Because the houses itself is just made out of nipa.
What's nipa?
It's a palm tree. But it's called nipa. That's the kind of roof they use. My cousin's house, their floor is bamboo. You can see right down.
Oh. Plenty rain over there.
Mm. It's real hard.
How did you get this? This is all from the Philippines.
Yeah, all of this is in the Philippines. This I got it from Baguio, the Tinikling.
I've heard of mm-hmm. that place.
Baguio is a rich rich city. And the climate is like Waimea, exactly.
Yeah. Oh,
foggy, cold, raining, greens. But the pine is completely different.
Oh.
They have pine trees like this, but they have a different one. It has acorn.
Mm.
It's like the mainland pine.
Yes.
And the road is zigzag. You see exactly what it is in the picture.
Uh-huh.
And it's real clean, fresh air. I love Baguio. I prefer Baguio than Manila.
Manila is a capital.
Yeah, Manila is the capital of the Philippines.
You ship this or?
No, I took it home with me. You see, what they do is they weave it.
Mommy.
And it goes, you know, in and out,
yeah.
In and out. Yeah. And I also brought some napkins, you know.
The same kind.
Yeah, same, exactly like that.
Beautiful.
And what you call that, placemat?
Oh yeah.
Mm. Oh yeah.
And I brought home some gifts for my friends. Mother of pearl napkin holder. But it's shaped like the shell. They just cut it out, you know. The shell is shaped, but
uh-huh.
They cut it out from small to big. It's about this round. It's beautiful. You know how mother of pearl look like.
Yes.
When you look at it, it's multi, like a rainbow. Oh, she love it.
That's nice.
Is your husband from the Philippines too?
Yeah, he was born there too.
And he came over?
In 1946.
same as you.
One month ahead of us.
How did you meet?
Well, this is kind of a long story, but I'll make it short for you.
Make it long.
My mom and dad and his folks came in 1928. And they met in Hawaii. And when my mom got married, my mother-in-law was her maid of honor. And then when my mother-in-law had children, my mother was comadre to one of her children. So this is how they came, you know, friends. And my husband was, I don't know how old he was. I think he was 5 years old when he came to Hawaii. And in 1932, they went back. But they still communicate each other because my mom and dad own two boats. It's not the kind of boat that we have here. They call it in the Philippines, barca. It's like the Mayflower, you know, those old-fashioned. Yeah, two of them like that. And my mom traveled from ocean, it's not land, from one port to the other port. This is the way how they earned, they did their living. And whatever income that she earned, she sort of exchange. Like she goes in one area and buy something. She goes to the other area and sell it. Mm. You know, keep on going like that. And my dad was one of the navigator. And that's the kind of living that we had.
So we
never used to have farm. We never did. And we have net, you know, fishing net. And people use it in the whole area. You see, my father was sort of one of a person that they respect. Mm. And it's like the old Hawaiian that your surrounding area, like in Kohala itself, like Hawaiians, it has so many relatives. My father is like that. He's centralized, and since he is a well-to-do person, they all come to him for ask help. And when they ask help, my father expect them to help him too. So this is how he gathered all his cousins, nephews, and everything else, and they navigated that boat.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, during my father's youth, I didn't exist at that time. I wasn't born yet, but they told me the story. That anything that they need is always through my father. My mom and dad didn't have no children. And they take care of both sides, my uncle and my father's side. His first cousins. See, my father had three brothers, but he's the only one left. He died, the rest died. So since he was the only child, and he had all the wealth that he can have, so the surrounding area, he took care of them. And that's how he came to be more like a father to that whole barrio. It's a small place, but he was more on the, you know, to help them out.
Yeah.
And that's how I get to know my husband. When we came back, when my father came back, my mother-in-law came back. See, my father-in-law stayed in Hawaii. He didn't want to come back and go back in the Philippines. But my mother-in-law and my husband and the rest, He has three children when he left, when he went to the Philippines. And when she came back, they were all married, the ones that she got from my wife. And my husband and my brother-in-law, they were the two that came in. But they came on their own without nobody taking them like I was, you know. So what their intention was to come to school in Hawaii. But you see, my husband was 22. So when he learned that you can only be 18 to be in school, he felt kind of embarrassed about it. And we were close. We were close together. Mm-hmm. And that's how we communicated. But at that time, Cupid didn't poke us yet. So that's how I get to know him.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. And then you fell in love later?
Mm-hmm.
Much later?
Well, it was such a short time because we've known each other since 1946, all right. But in 1950, that's when we got to know each other that well. Then in 53, May, there was the first day that our Catholic Church had opened in Halaula, in the month of May. You know, he was sort of kind of friendly. And then in June, he proposed. July, we got married.
Wow. Oh, good.
Uh-huh.
That was
and
good.
So we were united in 1953. And a year after that, my oldest son, that's that one there.
Oh, good looking.
And a year after that, this one was born, Winston. And that's Melita, that's my third one. She's graduating this year.
They're all beautiful. Really mm-hmm. Lovely.
Yeah,
so, and being the only child in the family, it's maybe I have everything, but I wasn't spoiled though. I got married when I was 16 and a half years old. My mom was an old-fashioned person. And I wanted to be very honest with them because I feel that if I would turn around and hide everything that I have in mind until the last minute I'll tell them, it wouldn't be nice. Because I was brought up into a modest home. And during my school year, my mom never let me go to a school function. I never did. I was a cheerleader, all right. But I could only go to day game. And if I get home in school, you know, from school, late, like she know, 3 o'clock I'm home. But later than 3 o'clock, she'll blow her mind. I cannot even go to a movie, not even a matinee. And if I do go, my uncle or my grandfather takes me. So it was kind of more on the strict side.
Very strict.
Mm-hmm.
What
very.
About your children? Did you raise them the same way?
Mm-mm.
No?
When I got married, I told my mom, I said, when I have children, Ma, I don't want you to interfere. I said, I want you to leave me and just let me do what I want with my children. And my mom said, you cannot do that. You have to watch them. I said, yes, I am. But just give me time and let me do what I can do for them. And when they were, when they went to the 9th grade, I started talking to them, and as a matter of fact, when they were in the 7th grade, they have a welcome party for a new student, because there's two schools here, Halaula. 6th grade is the highest from there, and then when you come in, it's seventh grade here. And my daughter wanted to go to Adest, and my mother said no. And I said, let them go. This is the only way that they can learn to mingle with other students. You cannot let them stay in the house. So I tried to be very reasonable to my children. And I tried to be strict in certain ways, but not all the way. I let them have their freedom. So whenever they, you know, whenever they go out, or when we have family circle, like at home, you know, my children always ask questions. And I'm very glad that they ask questions rather than I'm approaching them, you know. So my children had approached me. And so I explained to them. And I told them during my time, it wasn't the way how it is with your children. I said, I trust you and you have to give me that promise that you can go where you want to go, but to watch yourself, especially with my girls. You know, in Philippine women, old saying, your pride is the best golden treasure that you can own forever, whether you're single or married. And it's true. My mom keep on telling me, your pride come first. And I said, what is pride? You tell me what is pride. And you know, like her, she can't explain. So I have a way of, you know, talking to my children how to be a woman, especially when they had their womanhood, let's say. And like me, I wasn't taught. When my first day came, I thought I was slaughtered. You know? Because I said, what is this? It's falling down. It's all red, you know? And I didn't even know that my time has already, you know, had come for this kind of thing.
Didn't you ask your mother?
Well, I did ask her, but she never seems to try to explain. She think it's bad, or you know.
Even when it happened, she never explained.
No, then when I told her, how come I have, you know, all of this thing, and my mother said, the first thing she says, now you're a woman, you be very careful, don't go close to men, or don't go out, you know, all of this thing. That's what really had came out of her mouth first. But and we have education, you know, sex education before my time. But what they used to show was from seed. You know, the seed is planted in the ground.
Oh, no.
And it grows up. And, you know, that thing. They don't come to, yeah. So the only time I had learned was I sneak and read books. You know, when I used to go to school, I never had no books, no dictionary, no magazines, no nothing. My mom didn't want to spend money. She's real tight like this because she knows, you see. And I used to be an above average. I would say a B+ average student. And the only time that I could, you know, get all these good grades was stay in the library, trying not to go home late and all of that. You know, she's so old-fashioned. She didn't want to buy a stove. You know, the old-fashioned kind of stove, the kerosene kind. And she didn't want ice box. You know, when we have butter, she put water in a cup and let the butter inside, you know. It's a plate with water and another cup inside so that the ends won't go, and she know the water is cold, so butter won't melt. She doesn't believe in that kind before. But I try to teach her as much as I can. And today, let me tell you, when I say no to my daughter, I say, don't go out. My daughter goes to her, Grandma, can I go? I say, go.
What, some change?
Yeah, she really did change. But my time.
Every time. Mm-hmm.
They're so old-fashioned.
I feel for you, though, when you started having the periods. Mm-hmm. You must have been frightened.
Oh, I was. And I had a girlfriend with me, you know. She's 3 years younger than I am. She was the one that saw it. We were sitting down, you know, mm-hmm. when girls sit down. We never used to wear pants before. Mm. You know, we do, but not that often. It's not as often as now. And my girlfriend told me, hey, I see something red. And I said, what? I said, I see something red. I said, where? Stay underneath you. You know, then I ran. I was kind of embarrassed. So I ran and I had told my mother. My mother didn't even say anything.
She explained to you about
it. Yeah, well, what she said was, again, Filipino women is so completely different. Mm-hmm. She told me, now that you have your period, now eat ice cream.
Okay,
don't eat sour. You know, mangoes or guavas, anything that is sour, or anything that is cold.
Why not?
I don't know. But that does affect into certain women. Because my cousin, when she had her first period, what did she eat now? She ate, I think, apple. She died. Mm-hmm. And my mom ate one kind of fruit, jackfruit. You know what is jackfruit?
No.
You don't know what is jackfruit? It's that long fruit, plenty poke, oh. Torn like. It doesn't hurt you, but you know when you hold them. It looked like ulu, breadfruit. But the breadfruit is round, huh?
Yeah.
But that one is long and get pokey. But it doesn't poke you. It just... My mom ate that. And it's sticky. And her blood couldn't circulate. So they carry on the ancient tradition, you know.
Old tradition.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was like that too.
My mother don't even believe in medicine sometimes, you know. She make her own medicine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause they already know. When they try, they know.
That's interesting.
What does she use for medicine?
Like if you have a headache, you see that plant over there hanging?
Yeah.
She plucked that and she put it on top here.
Just dry like that?
Uh-huh. You know, that leaves, it's green, this round leaves right here. You know, after it comes out, it gets so withered, like
yeah.
soft. You can tell that the heat is all inside.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And, there's some other kind of herbs, you know,
yeah.
that she use. And it cured.
What about doctors? Did she ever go?
She go. But I know when she need a physician.
Yeah.
I just know.
Mm-hmm.
Like she has high blood pressure. I know when her blood is high. Then I'll bring her.
At least you go though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try to. Encourage her to see the doctor
yeah.
because I wouldn't know what's going on inside her if anything goes wrong, you know. So she go.
Good.
Oh, sun is yellow.
Well, that's the kind you put on top.
Yeah, you just put about maybe three to four, you know, just put it right over here. Yeah. No, 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 put them right over here.
What if you put them on top here?
Oh, good.
We need it so well.
That's interesting. What you just told us.
You finished, mommy.
Did you, have you been a housewife all the time?
No. When, in 1958, I had different jobs. I was a substitute teacher. And I went outside, you know, cane field work. And oh, I've done a lot of works in 58. I used to be adult education instructor. My husband and I had taught some men and women in Kohala citizenship.
Filipino.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The older ones. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm so surprised the way how some of them show up and they show their interest. I wish we have more women that can help the older ones, because there's a lot of Filipino men especially that cannot read and write, and it's real hard. And there's about half a dozen of my students that didn't know how to write their name. So when they receive their checks, they just put an X, huh? But today, they can write their name.
Must make you very proud.
Yeah. And most of them received their citizenship certificate. They had gone to the Philippines and married and bring it in. That's why the Filipinos are multiplying. You see all the Filipino children. I'm gonna cough. So, then in 1965, Manakebich Hotel came. Then I was, we took up sales clerk and merchandising. It was a manpower class. Yeah. And I got the sales clerk position. So I had worked 5.5 years at the hotel. Then about 4 months in 1971, I was promoted to the front desk clerk. I stayed only four months at front desk. Then she wasn't feeling well. So I quit. Then I stayed home a year. Then I got tired of staying home, you know, being a working woman. It's so hard to stay home. At the beginning it's easy, but it's boring. So I went up to Kamuela Shopping Center, and there was a sign there that says part-time sales clerk. So I got it part-time. 2 weeks after that, I was promoted to manager. Oh. And
so you're working there now?
Up to date.
Great.
I'm the manager. Fabric and fashion.
Ah.
Right next to Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
He's so close.
I just saw my own, but we have our own factory in Honolulu that I go in Honolulu once a month and do the buying. I do everything in there, from books, you know, bookkeeping and receiving and everything else.
Yeah,
I do all of that.
How do you take care of the house?
How? Well, since all of these girls are big now, I have nothing to worry about. Because my mom do the, I never did wash clothes since I started working. Great. They do my laundry. I never iron. I do the cleaning though.
Yeah. What about cooking? You like to cook?
I love to cook.
That's so
important. I love to cook. I can cook for the community.
Wow.
Really, you like
it? I really like it.
What kind of food do you like to cook best?
Oh, just practically everything.
Really?
My favorite is pancit.
Oh, I know pancit. Mm-hmm. What's that?
It's noodle with rice, with shrimp, pork, and mushroom.
Wow. That's good.
And I just do anything. You know, sometimes I experiment. What kind of food that I want? You know, it's just automatically. I never measure. I just dump.
By feel.
I never, like American, we put in teaspoon or tablespoon or whatever.
Right, in the recipe.
Uh-huh. But otherwise, I just dump everything. Doesn't all Filipinos do that?
My girlfriend does that, you know. Yeah. Oh, she comes out so good.
Yeah. It just dump everything in automatically, I guess. And let me tell you, Filipino men are the best cook.
Oh yeah?
That's what
every time we have party going on in Kohala.